Hey, everybody, welcome to Marvel Movie News. Today we're talking about a little thing called Spider-Man. There's a movie called Spider-Man Homecoming, and we saw the trailer. We saw two trailers, and Coy died, but he's back. So, anyway, sit right back, and we'll be right back in there.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now... Here's
sounded
time.
Like a stereotypical.
Yeah, you just made sounds make, like alluded to the meme words.
Just here on there.
These are laser sounds from the 70s.
Like and a we're South Park character.
Yes.
Oh man, that was not intentional. That was
you
just
sounds. Here
that, was the Texan in me coming out for just a half second. I was like, "Remember you're from Texas."
That was you taking the note of bringing the energy up.
Yeah. There it is. Yeah, we've all had a week.
I'm fine.
Well, I'm happy for you.
You guys are the ones with the week. Anyway, we're the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 112, which I believe is the first appearance of Baron Mordo. I don't know if that matters, but...
But what?
Now that Doctor Strange has been introduced, every episode has to reference Doctor Strange somehow.
Yeah. Like, when we get to episode 126, it'll be like, Dormammu and Kalia. Yeah.
How's that different from what we were doing before?
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
True enough. We're coming to you live from Midtown High. Is that okay?
I can love being in Midtown High.
Is that good? All right.
Yeah.
On our show, we tell you all the news from all those studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us through their website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at The Popcorn Talk or on facebook.com/Marvel News Show. And guys, if you'll tweet a link out to our show telling people about the live chat, Doom will retweet you from his booth.
Doom is back from Latveria. I had to go quash an insurgence.
No, you know,
last week.
Okay. Yep, that happens, man. That happens.
But thank you to those of you who reached out. All right. You know, we got to pick up the energy in this room. I was just going to roll this thing that some people are talking about. And then we'll talk about it later on in the show. But I thought, you know.
Oh, this is good because Matt Cook hasn't seen this yet,
right?
Right.
I don't know who this character is.
This
is a dance?
Let's do it.
Let's watch this cool thing.
Yeah.
So excited.
Hype. Oh my god.
Wait a minute. You guys aren't the real Avengers. I can tell Hulk gives it away.
Now, did you guys see my tweet about Ultimate Spider-Man 42?
No.
What?
That first shot is literally a frame-by-frame grab of Ultimate Spider-Man 42, where they have those characters dressed robbing a
bank. Batman's in there, right?
Awesome.
Yes. Yeah, except Batman's in there. He's swapped out a
little bit. I also love that that's the first time we see him, and he's just in the background.
Yeah.
Like,
casual-like.
God, I love it.
Also, someone sent me a screen grab. That might be Gwen Stacy. Like, dressed... That girl's dressed exactly like two appearances of Gwen Stacy.
She's dressed like this.
Is the best.
What, loser? Yeah.
He's just that hand. He's so good.
Yeah, just a little hand.
Just don't do anything I would do. And definitely don't do anything I wouldn't do. There's a little gray area in there, and that's where you operate.
I want someone to make a Venn diagram of that.
The black eye in the scene is very telling of the fact that this takes place immediately following Civil War.
Yeah.
I know school sucks.
Now, I don't think that was Gwen Stacy.
Where'd that video come from?
The music choice here gets me so excited.
Yeah. MGMT is a good choice.
I like that he's in history class. I like the Death Star.
No, I'm not.
We're going to talk.
I'm not.
The Spider-Man. I think it's very cool, too.
Yeah, we're going to break all this down towards the main section of the episode.
The speed of the crawl.
Get excited.
Let me be happy, Doom.
Oh. Yeah, bullshit.
Look at those ruffles.
Forget the the feathers
are perfect. Ruffles.
The boots. Always the boots for me.
You've been treating me like a kid all the time.
And the shirt.
You are a kid.
The pepper pot shirt.
Still not sure about the Genki leads, but we'll get there later in the show.
What is going on with you?
I'm really sorry. I'm so
busy. That quick Childish Gambino moment.
Don't mess with me, because I will kill you. Everyone you love.
Oh no, the fairy's gone down.
The fairy!
No, he's saving it!
Statue of Liberty.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. That's
so
when I was home, I went, oh, come on!
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, that one got
we all watched it at Screen Junkies because they had us on. Like to do like an immediate reaction, like the trailer played, and 30 minutes later, we were on Screen Junkies talking about it. We were all watching it together.
41 minutes to like break down that trailer
because it's so much, it's so dense.
There's so much going on in that trailer. Yeah,
my girlfriend came home when I was watching it like the second time, and she said that I made a sound she had never heard me make.
I,
my favorite part of watching the trailer this time was actually getting to watch you guys watch it. Because, like, you were both just like...
Yeah, I forget like, to breathe sometimes.
Like, it was the best. Like, I loved it. Like,
it's so much. Like, that's it must so be
like
happy.
What I looked like when I was watching the Doctor Strange trailer, just like...
I feel like this is the most I felt like they did it right. Always felt like Andrew Garfield was a great Spider-Man, but I didn't always feel the first Peter Parker. I felt like Tobey Maguire was a good Peter Parker. He didn't always identify the Spider-Man. Tom Holland is Peter Parker and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's great.
I get upset when I have friends that are like, that looks good. I'm like, yeah, you think I gave my life to crap? Like, that's what it's supposed to look like. That's what I've been talking about.
That's what it should have been the whole time.
Oh, that's what it should have been.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get to that later in the show.
Yes. Okay.
First, let's talk very quickly about some of these other news bits that came up, these newsy bits.
News.
Deadpool.
Oh, first news.
Yeah, no, news.
Oh,
it won Critics' Choice Award for Best Comedy.
Sorry, did we introduce each other?
Like,
show etiquette.
What to expect.
I'm at the Matt Key. We've got Koi Jandro at Coyjandreau.
Sure.
We've got Markia McCarty at MarkiaMcCarty.
Yes.
Yes. And then we've got Matt Cook. Ultimate Spider-Man fan, original host of the show.
Well, I enjoy Ultimate Spider-Man.
No,
but
I meant Ultimate.
I didn't want you to just classify me as solely an Ultimate Spider-Man.
No, Ultimate as in extreme.
Yes.
All new, all different.
The adjective was...
I understand what you were doing. I'm trying to clarify for the fans. Sure, I don't want to be put into a little...
Do you remember the Ultimate Spider-Man show?
Yeah.
That was on. So I thought the comic when it first came out was an adaptation of that show, and I held an issue one and put it back down, and I've regretted that for the last 15 years of my life.
Oh, no.
Fun fact. I literally was like, oh, I don't need this. It's an adaptation of the show. Cut to that being the only issue in the entire run I'm missing because I need a good quality. So it's just haunted me. Just fun
I'm
fact.
Sorry.
Fun fact,
sorry.
Audience. Yeah. Haunted me.
Anyway, we've got Colt Badeau tweeting from the Star Jammer and as usual, and we got Doom in the booth. All right, quick news. Deadpool, Critics' Choice Award for Best Comedy. It's also nominated for Golden Globes.
Golden Globes. Now, that's a serious award, you guys. The Hollywood Foreign Press was like, hey, Ryan Reynolds and the Deadpool team, we notice you and love you. It was worth a decade. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that's pretty major.
That's insane.
Especially for a superhero movie.
An R-rated superhero movie. It was made for, like Reynolds said, the catering budget of most superhero movies. That movie's got a Golden Globe nominations.
Yeah.
That's great. What?
Yeah, and it's Deadpool.
It's Deadpool! Like an award... no one notices superhero movies.
He's breaking.
No one!
Here's my question for you guys.
There he goes.
Do you think that Ryan Reynolds shows up to the awards in the Deadpool costume?
I wouldn't put it past him to accept the award as Deadpool.
I would love...
That would be cool.
Did you see that thing I tweeted where he thanked everyone? Like, and it was practically written as Deadpool? Like, all the screeners that went out? Like, it's just... And he also thanked, his speech was so full of love, and he thanked two kids that passed away that he visited through the Make-A-Wish.
Wow.
He dedicated the award to Make-A-Wish. Like, it's incredible how much wit, sarcasm, and heart he has, which is why I love Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds, because they're one and the same. So the fact that this movie is getting so much note because of the heart that went into it, and, like, it's beautiful. Thank you, Hollywood Foreign Press.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's awesome. Like,
that's cool.
I never thought it would happen. Okay. Even watching the movie, I was like, oh, this was made for me. I'm the little tiny audience. Because I saw it like the moment I could. And then by the end of that day, it had broken all the records. By Friday, more records. Now it's the highest R-rated profit margin of all time.
Yeah.
And awards consideration.
Yeah.
Society, you did it.
It's a new age.
It's the same thing.
It's a new age.
Do it right. Studios, do it right. There's a reason the characters have been around for decades. Do it right.
People will see it multiple times. You'll get multiple sets of ticket money if you make it good the first time.
What's funny is that Fox probably will not learn their own lesson. Like, Fox will not learn from what they did. Like, they'll be like, we did it right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, everyone likes R-rated comedies. Let's do everything as an R-rated comedy now.
No.
It sounds like that's why Tim Miller left.
Yeah.
Did you read that quote?
It's like you're focusing on the wrong thing.
I've got all the quotes here.
Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah, the good segue, sir.
There's that tangent.
Tim Miller spoke out for the first time on a show called CG Garage. I won't read the full quotes because they're kind of long, but we want to get they're great. Mm-hmm. They're really great. So let's say he says I just want to say one thing to the geek audience out there, because it's important to me that what the geeks and nerds of the world think, because they're my brothers and sisters. Already, that's a great, like,
yeah.
He's like, I'm one of you. Like, let me, like, we're all fans. Like,
I'm
we're
making
friends.
Sonic.
Yeah. I didn't want to make some of those stylized movies that was three times the budget. If you read the internet, who cares, really? But for those of you who do, I wanted to make the same kind of movie that we made before, because I think that's the right move for the character, so don't believe what you read on the internet. Mm-hmm. He went on to say, I wanted to do the same thing as the first movie. Kyle Chandler was not going to be Cable. All the stuff that I read kind of kills me. Like everyone was saying, Kyle Chandler.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Then, he came out and just said no. Yeah, like I haven't seen that bold of a directive statement. Like what you read was wrong. Like yeah. It's very interesting that he's like, no. It's they're trying to make creative choices. I disagree with, mm-hmm. And that's a very bold statement to make in the studio system as a new director.
Yeah. He said, the movie was really hard to make, some people go, the movie was really hard to make, the movie was a joy to make. I think you see it on screen. We had such a good time. We had few arguments in post, but nothing more than usual. The crew was so great, everybody was going to come back, and we were going to have such a good time. And the idea that it was a difficult movie, it wasn't. It was a joy, and it was the best experience of my life. And then he went on to say, I wish them nothing but good, and I hope it's great. I love the character.
Oh, man.
So...
But a rough breakup. Like, that
really rough.
I wanted him back. I'm still a little worried, but I'm not as worried because it's a John Wick director. I think it's incredible.
Yeah, John Wick is such a fun movie.
But man, that's such a bummer.
They supposed to be together.
Yeah, it's one, you know? Yeah. Sometimes it's not the right person, as good as the relationship is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just wasn't meant to be.
So, anyway, it's in good hands. We'll
see. It's a great statement.
Yeah. It is.
I appreciate
it. And,
that.
Like, I never saw Kyle Chandler as Cable.
I personally didn't either.
I love him.
Yes, yeah, same.
But I
think he's a good actor.
Right.
I don't see him as Cable. So, like, hearing him say he was never going to do that, and hearing the rumors that Ryan Reynolds...
How about as Cyclops?
He could be a good Cyclops.
He'd be a great Cyclops.
Manchester by the Sea?
No, I haven't seen it. Is he in it?
He's incredible.
In what?
Manchester by the Sea. Kyle Chandler.
Oh, he's in that. I didn't know he was in that.
I gotta see it.
Haven't seen that yet.
All right, let's move over to Defenders real quick, where we saw Charlie Cox and Kristen Ritter, Matt Murdock and Jessica Jones, for those of you who are like, who are those actors? We saw our first pictures of them on set. They're like Matt Murdock is wearing a suit. Jessica Jones is in her
Infinity scarf
and leather jacket. So she's in costume.
They're traditional outfits.
Yes.
I don't think this is real. I think it's Photoshop. He's not even making eye contact.
Yeah, I'm hoping that is
perfect.
We see them filming. We don't see anything spectacular, and it seems like all of the shots are between takes. Like it's not them actually on camera.
This sequence looks like a
like a weird rom-com. Remember that time? Like that's very
blind guy.
But see them together.
He can't see.
Happy.
She can't forget. Let's see what trouble they find.
It's just like. I don't know. I included it because I thought it was cool just to see the two of them together and be like, oh, things to come.
It made me really
happy. It's like, this exists.
They were the first.
They
were the first two Netflix heroes. Like, seeing them together is exciting.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a cover of an annual when you see, like, one of your favorite characters in the corner and you're like, that's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Like, this is that in 3D.
It's similar to the first time that in the first Avengers when Iron Man, Cap, and Thor and they just, like, boom, and they're on screen together. It's exciting.
Yeah. Like that shot of like the Avengers when you like it, that first Avengers film, Joss Whedon, like
the pan around with everybody. Even in the when Thor takes Loki out of the Quinjet and then they're fighting and it's just the three of them and it's like, this is where it begins.
All right, let's talk. Still talking Netflix universe. Sigourney Weaver talked about her Defenders role a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The quote is basically the four heroes come up against this really nice woman who I'm playing.
Italics for really.
Yeah, really nice woman. She said, to me, they're not superheroes. They're people with a gift. It's just a different scale, and I'm really enjoying the scale of it. The apocalyptic thing is a little harder for me to understand. which, I don't understand that last part. Like, is she saying that there's an apocalyptic thing going on in Defenders?
I think she's saying in this. I mean, I took it as cinematic universe.
Yeah, I took
like,
it as
in
like
the like big world and superhero, like Flash. Like, I think she likes that this is more grounded.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
my take.
Maybe
on
so.
It.
Maybe so. Yeah.
Also, just an acting standpoint, just how it's like I focus on this, not on the this for my character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or she might be a demonic character that we know and love, and that's why she's saying the apocalyptic thing is too hard for me to understand.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. The scope of Defenders, we have no idea. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know where it's going to go, which is
But apparently, there's a lot of laughing.
I mean, or at least between takes. There could be just darkness, and he's just like, the lols.
My two favorites for a role are still Mephisto and Fin Fang Foom.
I still support both those choices.
Oh, I say Mephisto out of those two because
I
think Sigourney would be a great dragon.
Yeah,
I'm all about it.
She'd be a great anything. She just have to be the voice.
So long. No, I want it like Scooby Doo, where it's like mocap, but like she's weirdly like '90s animated, like Fin Fang Foom, just trolling through.
I love it.
She looks like she's Fin Fang Foom from like that '70s Spider Man cartoon.
Yes, that's what I want.
Yeah. I think that a good role for her would be like the CEO of IGH, the people who made Nuke.
That'd be perfect.
And like all these other like souped up, like almost like mutant growth hormone kind of thing. Like,
right.
I feel like that's more
her speed.
Probably. Well, it makes sense. Like, and that's why she sees them as people with a gift. Like, she's like, those are people with a gift. I can exploit
that.
That
so
would
either that or she's like the Beast of the Hand, which is also amazing.
So would that make her sort of like the mother to the Defenders?
What?
In a way? Like, because IGH is like, so maybe, other than Iron Fist, is like she's responsible for...
Partially responsible for Jessica Jones,
she's
maybe.
She's the deadbeat mom.
Charles Lee says a very interesting idea that is Morgan Le Fay, and I would love that. Lady Doom, effectively. Doom in the booth,
appreciate it. Betsy in the chat room. Defender starts with, "Hello, I'm Sigourney Weaver," like in Finding Dory.
Yes!
Yes, that would be amazing.
I want her to play herself.
Disney owns both.
Yeah.
Disney owns Pixar and Marvel. Yeah. She could be Sigourney Weaver in Finding Dory.
All right, let's move on to New Mutants real quick, because I know you guys just want to talk to your Spider-Man, and there's a lot to say. New Mutants, so early last week, they were like, there was a rumor created by Den of Geek that they were going to start filming a new X-Men film later in 2017. Then Josh Boone, the director for New Mutants, like retweeted that, saying, "Yeah, it's my movie, basically." So New Mutants starts filming. Let's see if they say May of next year.
So it makes sense timeline-wise.
We'll start seeing casting announcements soon, like Cannibal, Wolfsbane,
following this one the most closely because it seemed the one that should shoot first. It seems the one that they're like, you know, moving forward with. I'm just wondering if it's going to be, you know, if they're fading out the traditional X-Men universe and like slowly soft rebooting it with these side characters.
I think they are.
Because X-Force, really Deadpool, New Mutants, like I think...
Apocalypse didn't do as well as they wanted.
Right.
It didn't get the fan traction that
and it was already a soft reboot, so they can't soft reboot again without introducing some other characters.
Yeah. Again, what Fox should do is just team up with Marvel.
Yes.
You know?
Fox, come on.
I love Cannonball.
Sam Guthrie?
I think that's a cool power.
Yeah.
I always really like that.
I like his personality.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I want to see that personality on
the
screen.
I've always liked the way he was written, too. Like, you could hear, like, the accent. Mm-hmm.
I also like the family aspect
of
the Guthries.
You could almost taste the grits and butter.
Like, the Uncanny X-Men, when they had that, like, it was, like, 2 years where they really focused on the Guthries in, like, the late 2000s. I thought that was a great run, because Husk is great, he's great, and they're both very, like... Both characters have a lot of depth when they're allowed to. So I'd really think they can go some cool places.
So here's the question. What of the four release dates that have no titles connected to them, there's March 2nd of 2018.
Deadpool.
June 29th of 2018.
X-Force.
November 2nd of 2018.
Deadpool
and February 14th of 2019.
And Deadpool 5.
Okay, so... what
happened to 3?
Deadpool. What's that?
That's X-Force.
X-Force is
three. So
my theorizing.
Which one of those four dates is New Mutants taking? My guess is March 2nd, 2018.
We don't know. Next.
Let's talk about Spider-Man.
We don't know. We're going to see it.
March 2018 did open up because I think it was The Flash was supposed to go there.
Oh, yeah, now they don't have Rick Fumi Yaoi there, yeah.
You know what's funny? I just, in that moment, I was like, wow, that's so far away. And I was like, no, that's like, it's 2017 in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
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 Literally, this is the first time I've realized that this whole year.
Yeah.
So whoever, if the camera was on me in that moment, that was me realizing it was December 2016 for the first time.
All right, let's move on to Logan. No. Logan, first of all, we want to acknowledge that Hugh Jackman took a pay cut in order to guarantee the rated R. Which,
yeah, way to take one for the
huge
team, man.
Jacked man. You are a gentleman and a scholar, yeah. And yes. Always have seemed such. Thank you for all you do.
Love to see you sing. Love to see you be Wolverine. So thank you.
Yeah, we'd love to see you being the singing, dancing Wolverine.
I still want that. Remember that when we came up with that musical?
Yes.
Someone's like, what if they do a TV show? And she was like, oh, like Glee. And I was like, a musical X-Men show?
Oh, my God.
But it'd be the only actual excuse to have everyone know the lyrics because you'd have Xavier, like, like teleprompting everyone. So everyone breaking the song would be canon.
Professor X is a giant musical fan.
Yep. Yeah.
No, I get it.
And you can have Chamber do psionic, like, oh, man, bring it.
Yeah, it Dazzler works so lights. Well.
Professor X and his song.
Yeah, exactly. Dazzler on lights. Does so much.
All right.
Professor
also,
X has
we
a little
have
ascot and a little cigarette holder. You're flat.
Oh,
not
goodness.
My tempo.
Also, we have our first look at actor Richard E. Grant as Xander Rice, the father of X-23.
That shot. So here's what's so cool about this shot.
Tell me.
Nothing. Next.
Matt Cook's 20-minute Marvel movie news, and then he's like, Spider-Man.
No, it looks great.
It's, moving on. Very well.
We don't know anything. Let's go. Fake news, non-news.
We would like to acknowledge our sponsor today, Sherry's Berries.
Yes.
We had them, we got to try the berries last week. We're sorry we don't have any more berries left for you guys to try.
Yeah, but, you know.
I'm only here for the berries.
I was promised Sherry's Berries.
That's great. We had Marisha here.
Marisha and Taliesin from Critical Role were here.
She was just eating the berries.
They got berries.
Yeah. Berries. They're chocolate covered strawberries.
They're huge.
Delivered by mail.
They're like this big.
Well,
it's
you
awesome.
Should have been here, Koi.
I was dying. I was
sorry.
Actively on death's door.
Oh, no.
But Christmas is in a couple weeks. There's not a lot of time left to shop.
As I just realized.
It's the 13th.
But you can choose a gift from Sherry's Berries' incredible collection of gifts and go ahead and skip the crowds and hassle altogether. The freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries, starting at just $20, $19.99.
Per berry?
No.
Great Scott!
I think there's like 12 in a box, right?
Yeah,
and they're really good. They're gigantic berries, like massive berries. And that's over a 30% savings or double the berries for just $10 more. All you need is our code. Marvel.
It's lovely. Yes. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I know, right?
Yeah, they're actually really good. They're really, really good.
I mean, we wouldn't know.
Yeah, just visit.
I take your word for it, I guess.
Just visit berries.com, berries.com/Marvel, and you for $30, you get two boxes.
Just berries.com?
Yeah,
berries.com. They own berries.com.
They're doing that well.
Yeah. I got to say, I have done, I've ordered Sherry's Berries in the past, and if you're, Doom approves of the romantic move of Sherry's Berries.
Ooh. Yes. Cool. They look gorgeous.
Doomantic,
too.
Yeah.
Like with the little chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, they're very pretty berries.
For that Mary Jane in your life.
And then, quick note, if you are going to be mailing or sending stuff to people, try to get it done between the 13th and the 14th, because after that, it might not make it to them.
Yeah.
I don't know how Sherry's Berries does, but I mean, like, my past. Experience.
Yeah, yeah, like 13th being today, 14th being tomorrow.
I've done in the past, like they do have expedited shipping, but
you'll pay for it.
Mark his words.
I had to find out the hard way.
Yeah, so anyway, they on their homepage, they've got a microphone in the top right corner. Click on that, type in Marvel, and you're good. So there's that. All right, let's move on. Bear with us for one more second.
Some sort of
Matt
sense
Cook.
Is tingling. There's some sort of sense I feel that's tingling.
Doom, talk to us as quickly as you can about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Matt Cook may die.
Okay. Last week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sometimes
was
Spider-Man's
the winter,
Teams of S.H.I.E.L.D.
The winter season finale was, it definitely was a crazy show. It wasn't like the best episode. There was a lot less action than I would have wanted from Ghost Rider, but it was a great emotional send-off for him.
It was.
And
it was a good episode.
They basically set up two options for spin-offs within 10 minutes.
They really
Spider-Man. Because they sent Ghost Rider down to hell to be, like, kept there. I see you guys. And then Coulson dropped the fact that, oh yeah, he's dealt with a Ghost Rider coming back before. So they just, it basically implied a 90s Johnny Blaze, like a 90s Johnny Blaze Coulson potential show. And I want it, Marvel.
Yeah.
And then we got the setup for the next set of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the next half of the season, LMD, which is going to be the next...
Life Model Decoys.
Yeah, which they've been teasing throughout the season. So we're going to get that at the starting January 10th. But before that...
I need an interest getting, model decoy.
Before that, tonight, we're getting the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spin-off web series, Slingshot, which is going to feature Yo-Yo Rodriguez in a six-part miniseries.
Is that tonight?
At some point today, it'll drop. And then you can tune in to the AfterBuzz TV Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show, where we're going to be reviewing it tonight at 10:15 p.m. So check us out there. And that ends Doom's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
All right, that's awesome. Doom, you got through that so fast. That's great.
There's Spider-Man to talk about.
Yeah.
Peter Spider-Man.
Because we were saying, like, last week, you went pretty in-depth.
I wasn't here last week.
Well, no, he wasn't here last week either because he had another job.
There was no one to.
So it was like a 20-minute segment.
It was like four or five minutes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
and a half.
I promised to bust on you for that. That's so what
funny. But it was great. You did good work. We're just having fun with you, dude.
You know, it's funny.
It was fun. All
right.
But we enjoyed the 10-minute.
Come to that time in the show where it's time to sign off. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Spider-Man fans, take it away. The show is now in your hands.
So, Spider-Man.
They're hugging.
He's the hero we deserve and the one we need right now.
For those of you who don't see the show... But are only listening to it.
Yeah. There was a Ben Reilly Spider-Man
Cook
hug.
And Coy just hugged.
Now, Cook used to do this show, and then I came on as a guest. And I met Cook, and instantly we knew. Spider Bros.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the point in the show where Tom Holland is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And that trailer was a mix between Ditko's Amazing Spider-Man, Bendis' Ultimate Spider-Man, and like a little like animated series flavor. It was like a greatest hits album for the band you've loved your whole life, but with new songs that are just as good as their classics.
It's so exciting.
Wow, that's a really good way to put it.
It literally was that trailer was the summation of both Marvel's strengths, Spider-Man's strengths, Sony's like ability to let the trust of Marvel go through. Mm-hmm. It introduced
that's a big deal.
Not
it's so easy to forget
studio system,
but just in the actual like studio world, like the fact that they let that happen,
is insane.
Such a big deal, and it shows a self awareness that I think we've seen to be rare in these sort of things.
Yep.
And the fact that Robert Downey Jr. is all over the trailer,
right?
Yeah. Is a way to be like, no, it's part of this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, and I kind of hope. That's about as much of Iron Man.
I'd like that to be the lion's share of his stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be too much.
And
Tony
I love
Stark.
Him.
Yeah.
Because of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway,
I think it will be. I think it will be that. Where that's a lot of his scenes. That's a lot of his stuff. I liked the Bruce Banner moment.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a shot of that? The Bruce Banner Easter egg I thought was brilliant. That's the kind of world building I think they need to focus on. Is the fact that in the classroom they had all the great minds, and then the last photo was Bruce Banner.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I need to see that.
There's a classroom moment
through it.
That's
awesome. Because I just thought it was a history
when
class.
When they're in science class, right? No, that's science class because they've got the.
I know, but I saw. That's what I assumed. Then I saw all the portraits. I was like, presidents, and then I was too excited.
And one of them is Bruce Banner, which I think is a great subtle world building. That's in a trailer. Yeah, that's the kind of Easter egg. It's incredible. The fact that it's doing that kind of world building, having Tony Stark in there, you can mention incidents that have occurred. You can keep the budget small. It's set in a high school. You can have this thing be so contained, but have that like sprinkling, like, my God. And Vulture looks incredible. I love the ruffles.
Can't get over the ruffles.
I think that we might have the pro. Look at that!
Yeah, here's the classroom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Bruce Banner's on the very end over there.
That's a banner,
There you go.
That's thrilling.
Holy crap.
There's Tesla,
awesome.
Einstein, Banner.
Yeah, and that makes total sense.
Wow. I mean, I think that Prowler is childish. I mean, Donald Glover might be Prowler by the way his character's in there for, like, that two frames.
Yeah.
It makes sense also, that now makes sense why they've been pushing him so hard.
In the comics.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Right.
Yeah.
He's literally got his own title right now.
This
Marvel's
is a
not
blink
known.
And you miss it. I missed this the first, I think, three times I watched the
really?
Trailer.
Also,
oh, I saw it the very first time.
I think that's an Iron Man hand that was tossed aside in another movie that he's repurposed. If you look, that kind of looks like a hand, so I think you know, you pick up scraps and you know, maybe Shi'ar technology plus Iron Man hand. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff that the Tinker might have tinkered.
So while we're looking at this picture, and Doom, I think I sent another picture with the glare out of that the face there. Because see if you can find that, because it makes it a little trickier to see. I've had some people tell me they think that's Logan Marshall Green, and I think it's Michael Chernus who plays the Tinkerer.
I think so too.
But I've had other people say no, that's Logan Marshall Green. So I've got a picture of Michael Chernus and I've got a picture of Logan Marshall Green.
Oh, I think that's Logan Marshall Green, like almost definitively.
All right, let's look.
So there's Logan Marshall Green.
This is Logan.
Right.
All right, let's look at Michael Chernus.
What a sad picture. What a sad image
of Logan.
Yeah, no, that's definitely Logan Marshall Green.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then look at the picture without the glare.
But look at the picture without the glare.
Because of the beard.
They both have beards.
Oh, the screen's so dark.
I think that's Logan Marshall Green just because of, like,
the face.
Yeah, but because of the fact that it is.
It's interesting because, like, they're... Either one of them put on some weight for this role, or one of them
lost weight. Yeah, that's what's... Like, they... That face looks like it could belong to either of the two men to
Who's
me.
Who's Logan
like,
Marshall Green playing?
We don't know. That's why I'm throwing that out there because he looks like he's testing technology out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and it kind of looks like a mentor-ish.
Yeah.
Sorry, like, I'm on a medicine.
You're on like
sick.
A lot of DayQuil.
All the DayQuil.
Yeah, all the DayQuil
I'm
right
closer
now.
To the screen. I think that's Logan Marshall Green because his eyebrows are curved.
No, really. I mean, it's his face. Just look at the cheeks. All you need to look at is the cheeks. The other guy's got bigger cheeks.
I don't see that as the other guy at all.
No, that's not.
If only he has some facial recognition software.
In life, he plays almost Tom Hardy. In this, it looks like he plays one of Tinker's lackeys.
Okay. So if he's one of the lackeys and he's got a weapon that has a hand on it that he's shooting, who is he?
I think he's testing out Shocker stuff.
He's not Shocker, because
the Shocker doesn't have an Iron Man hand. I think he's testing. Who's Shocker?
I don't think that's an
Shocker
Iron Man hand.
I understand the character, but who's
playing him?
Bokeem Woodbine. Okay. Yeah, and in fact, it's the international trailer where they have a shot of him and he's utilizing the technology.
Just that yellow sleeve is.
Yeah, pretty indicative. That's why I think he's testing it. I think he's a lackey that tests the thing. As they evolve it, it becomes the costume. He's testing, like, the Shocker arm and the safety, and then later on, Bokeem takes it. He might even steal it.
That's cool.
We don't know. But I think this is very much still the Shocker tech just being used as a tester, and that's why I think Prowler's there, and that's why I think it's Prowler, is they're all working together as, like, a syndicate forming the Tinkerer's goons.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that's Prowler, and we've definitely got Tinker and Vulture, and then we've got Shocker in there. Mm-hmm. But who's Logan Marshall Green? Like, that's what I'm trying to get to. Because I've just been assuming that's Tinkerer the whole time.
Gotcha.
And if he's not the Tinkerer, and he's Logan Marshall Green, and he's got a weapon that he's doing that with, you're saying he's testing it out.
Yeah, and
my
that's
suggestion
why he has
to sleep. Is he's not testing it out. My suggestion is like that's his weapon that he's playing with.
I think it would be silly to have two weapons that similar, like Shocker arm and
the shot. I think what it is that it's they've utilized this technology and he's just made a whole lot of things from the same energy source, which is why they all have the same color.
Yep, like that's
the
same color. What I was going to say.
And that's just what it is. Maybe it's something like he's generating money for his empire thing, the Tinkerer. Maybe he has something against Tony Stark and like they have that you know, history going on. So he's putting out all of these weapons for, like we theorize about this with the Vulture. Mm-hmm. Like Vulture is kind of like a mastermind like character, but he's like rough muscle,
right?
And Tinkerer kind of arms him and be like, hey, go after Stark for me or anything Stark has,
right
you know, anything that he loves.
I don't even know if it would be that important to give Tinkerer such a vindictive motivation. Like, I think he just knows how to build stuff, and then people with money are like, dude, like, because I think a lot of times in the comics it's like, you gotta pay. You pay me, I'll make you whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It could be. I mean, it's interesting just to be the idea of like, I can give you something that can cut an ATM out of a wall, and like, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, if he's just sort of like a hapless, like,
right.
what, yeah. just like making stuff, and he doesn't really have a moral compass, and
he's
and
like, then, he's like the Q of the supervillains.
Yeah, and then, but then Keaton has the score to settle, and he, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, yeah. I don't know. It's okay. interesting. I mean, there's a million ways to go with it.
The Tinkerer's been around since Spider-Man began. He was a 60s villain. He's
yeah.
always, yeah, well, and like, he was literally a Ditko bad guy.
Yeah.
I think he, and aliens were involved at one point. I think the very first issue. Yeah, that issue, yeah. like, he was working for aliens or as aliens. I think that he's going to be, like you're saying, no moral compass. He's not going to be anyone's... He's
making money.
He's the Osborne of the Amazing Spider-Man trilogy, and I'm glad they're going, instead of everyone being animal-based, everything can be science-based, because that's more indicative of this Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. This is going to be science and invention and everything else.
Tech-based.
And that plays so much more to the Tony Stark Spider-Man relationship, and yeah. I think that's why Tony Stark's so involved in the trailer. And I think using tech instead of, like, everyone's some sort of animal
yeah.
Is a, and I everything come from Oscorp. I think this is a better way to go, because it allows more world-building.
Man, I hope they make him smart.
Me too.
I mean, they already have it.
Spider-Man,
yeah, like he's already built. Yeah. But I hope they like, right. like I hope there's just a really good problem solving,
yeah.
like thing, like just you know. And Spectacular Spider-Man, one of my favorite things about that series was the cartoon was that every time he defeated one of the, like the main Sinister Six bad guys, it was a way that I hadn't seen it
right.
done before.
Right,
it was really smart. Like Rhino, his suit was impenetrable,
mm-hmm.
and then the more they fought, the more he saw like Rhino like really sweating, and he's like. Wait, nothing can get into that suit, which means nothing can get out either.
Yeah.
Like, that means he's overheating. I need to overheat him. And then, like, basically he gives Rhino heat exhaustion. And then he just, like, pummels and he's done. Like, he yeah. can't do, like, it's just nice. A really cool, like, take on stuff.
And this allows for all of that, because if they do the right... I don't mind multiple villains if they do it right like that. Yeah. And I think that the Tinkerer is a great anti-Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Like, all the brilliance of Tony Stark but in the wrong hands. So having him involved gives you that... The beautiful thing about superhero movies is the duality of man.
And it's, mm-hmm. and even like, let's like scrap Tony Stark. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care. Like, I love that he's in the trip, but like, get him out of there. Like, it's actually... There's a cool parallel there of Peter Parker and
right.
the Tinkerer.
Because mm-hmm.
that dude doesn't look like he's going to be like, hi, how are you? I'm the Tinkerer. He's
yeah.
like, well, I just do things. You know, he's
right,
got, like,
right,
he's,
right.
Yeah. he's, I think he's another poor kid
right.
who's gifted, mm-hmm. but he didn't get the lessons that Parker got. And that's
yeah.
what makes Spider-Man such a cool character, is that he has such a respect and such a need to do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
where this dude maybe never had that example set for him.
Right, he didn't
right.
have Uncle Ben
he's
to
just
tell about
using his gifts to make money. He doesn't care. People get hurt, whatever, that's the world, yada, yada, yada. But there's a separate path there that these two
right.
kids... have taken
yeah.
and Parker being younger than the Tinkerer, but still like that idea of what it could have been.
And so that
like,
would yeah. make sense for the casting of why they
yeah.
went younger than having an old Tinkerer, because
yeah.
you want
right.
that parallel stronger.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the Tinkerer will act as a foil to like Peter Parker, as in like this is what could have been.
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe
Peter Parker.
I think
maybe
all
not
of
even
the
a
villains
foil.
Are the other side
yeah.
of your
the
yeah.
mirror.
They
the,
have
the,
to.
Yeah. The fractured reflection
mm-hmm.
yeah.
of what could like that. You know,
and that's why
yeah.
Venom's such a great character when done right, because he's literally the Dark Spider-Man.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I think that this could be a great way to show the duality of his tech being used against,
yeah.
like mankind. So I think having a bunch of villains do little science things is the best way to go, and that's why I think he's testing the Shocker arm personally.
Yeah.
Something else that we were talking about is escalation of force
mm-hmm.
That is with this, and it also touches on what John Watts said, where these are. Basically villains, like, you know, street-level villains that then had to up their game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the exact quote.
The quote is, I've got it written down here. He says something like, the world is changing, boys. Time we change with it, or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
with like what Michael Keaton, well,
great.
I'm sorry, Tomb says.
Right, it's the Dark Knight trilogy idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah.
like that escalation of force, so what do you guys think about that? Like,
I
these,
love that.
They have
yeah.
to...
And in that vein, I love the idea that we open the trailer with an ATM robbery that
mm-hmm.
Spider-Man gets in the middle of. And then in the middle, we get to the Vulture, and then we kind of get back to like tech stuff, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
I think movie wise, structure wise, we meet Shocker before he's Shocker.
Yeah.
Spider-Man
mm-hmm.
always,
definitely.
But Spider-Man always humiliates his foes.
Right.
And that's what's
yeah.
like so, like, kind of awesome but infuriating is that he just like humiliates them, like beats them, and then just like
taunts,
mocks them so
yeah.
hard, and he makes people crazy.
Yeah.
He makes
yeah.
them so mad they make mistakes.
That's why
the
Sinister Six exists.
Yeah, it's so. But here's the thing: is like they get in there, and then Shocker's like, "I'm done, dude. That kid is making me like I'm over it." And he gets that escalation of force.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's basically Spider-Man's a little bit of a bully. Like, he's a bully's bully.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah,
he comes back and, like, fights back at the bad guys. And I think it's Shocker gets humiliated right out the gate, mm-hmm. and then Spider-Man thinks he's taken care of, and then we deal with the Vulture stuff, and it gets bigger, and then Shocker comes back, and he's like, hey, you remember me? Shabam! And then he's like, oh, what did I do? You know what I mean? And it's that thing that Spider-Man's like, oh, he's back, and it's more, and it grows, it always intensifies. And
That's a really interesting... I've never heard that take on it before. Like, not the way you're saying it, because what you... Ultimately, he's creating his own, cyclical
violence. That's what happened with Venom.
There's no healing.
Right.
You know what I mean? No, and, like, he's just... Because he's so focused on doing what's right, but he can't do all of it, you know? Yeah. And that's what's so great about Parker, is he can't do all of it.
He can't be everything. He can't do it all right.
No. But then in Superior Spider-Man, No, dude. Have you read it?
I hate it.
I love it.
I know.
I love it. I think it's so important.
Yeah.
I think it's so important that you take one of his greatest villains, Doc Ock, and you give him the opportunity to be what Spider-Man is.
If it was half the length, I would have enjoyed it. Or if it was an alternate universe, I would have enjoyed it. But it caused... Spider-Man never came back for me. After Superior Spider-Man, I've never felt like Peter Parker was Peter Parker again. I've not read a Spider-Man comic in 3 years that felt like Peter Parker was in it. And that's painful.
Well, that's... Okay.
That's not because of Spirit Spider-Man. That's because of Dan Slott.
Well, yeah, I think specifically against a man.
I think that's more tone. But in the end of that run, when Spider-Man learns from Ock and mm-hmm. Ock learns from Spider-Man...
Oh, that's beautiful.
Like, that's
a moment.
Huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that makes that whole... That ending of that, like, was so good for me. I was like, yeah, good. Like, I love that. And then the reveal that he's still there, I love that book, and I love... The idea of, like, a bad guy trying to be good and, like, how much mm-hmm. is actually unchangeable in a person and how much can you change and what can you change for the better and all that stuff.
Right.
For me, that was Kraven's Last Hunt, because the commentary on Spider-Man being a force of darkness through Kraven and beating up Vermin and Spider-Man seeing what he could become was there, but it was done through a way that felt more true to the character. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the same lesson, but told in a different way. So I see why you like it. I just like the version of... I got the same moral compass out of it.
Yeah.
And I think that this movie can... I think we're going to get, like... I've dreamt of, like, 9 Spider-Mans with Tom Holland. I think this is a great first step in, like, he'll learn responsibility in a different way than just the Uncle Ben origin story by way of this technology. I think that... And I still think that Logan Marshall Green is going to be Shocker number 1, and then it evolves into Shocker number 2 with Bokeem. And I think that we'll see how far technology can go in the wrong hands, and I think that'll be Spider-Man's first lesson.
Right.
And that's why I think Tony Stark's important.
Yeah. Oh, I think Tony Stark's very important. I'm just saying I don't want too much.
I don't
want to
be in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Here's my opinion on Stark. I think we'll probably see him in, like, 4, maybe 5 scenes, no more than.
Yeah.
But his presence will be felt all throughout because Tom Holland needs a father figure. He sees that in Tony Stark. I'm not saying that, like, ultimately he does. I'm saying Tom Holland in this film is seeing Robert Downey Jr., Tony Stark,
as a
father figure and is actively seeking that out. I think by the end of the film, he'll realize, oh, you know what? Like, Uncle Ben, the lessons that I learned, I've got friends, I've got allies, I'm good.
I've got
But I think at the beginning, when, like, that hug happens and everything else, certainly the trailer is setting
that's,
up.
That's a good point.
Non-hug.
He wants to have that bond with... Yeah. And of course he idolizes. Everybody idolizes Tony Stark.
That also builds to Stark dying.
Right. Which is perhaps inevitable.
Yeah.
Because that's going to affect
the
Marvel Universe. And we need Spider-Man to be affected by that on many levels, because Spider-Man's the next wave of Marvel. Like, Spider-Man's vital to the future of... Now that this deal's been made, Spider-Man's their guy.
Yeah.
And just character-wise, Spider-Man is nothing but suffering.
Right. Yeah. He has to be.
So,
and that's the beauty of the character.
If he gets close to Stark, Stark's out.
Like, right.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like,
that's good movie making. That's just how you write a movie. You make the most lovable character die.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I don't think it'll be in this
movie. But you need Spider-Man under rubble constantly. You need that shot of Spider-Man holding up.
That shot
of him holding the Staten Island ferry
together.
Which
is so iconic in itself.
It's
I love
so
that.
Great.
The Statue of Liberty behind it is what kind of saved that shot for me. I'm so over Jesus Christ motifs in these movies.
Yeah.
When he's being crucified like that, and I'm like, no.
What if he falls from space and has his arms out?
Yeah, see, I don't like that. I just don't. I'm like over. Like, we get it. Like, do something different. You know what I mean? But in that, I'm like, I get it. Like, I think in that scene, it's earned, and it, like, makes sense that he's doing that, but then the Statue of Liberty just barely visible in the back
is so special
and so cool and fun.
Well done.
And it's a nod for me to Amazing Spider-Man 2, which I think is the strongest Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, the beautiful train shot. Like, I felt like that was a great...
Not Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I mean, sorry, you're right. Spider-Man 2.
I almost lost my mind on you.
When you have Tim Meadows, like, reach out and, like, stop him from falling over.
I saw your eyes bug, and I was like, did you not like Spider-Man 2?
No, Spider-Man 2 is great. You said Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I'm sorry.
I met someone this week, and they will remain nameless, but they were like, oh, no, I love Amazing Spider-Man 2. And I just...
They will remain nameless.
It was the exact amount of silence that was just in that room.
Yo, I love episode one, dog.
This shot, like, immediately...
You just ruined my heart.
This shot, like, immediately called...
I think episode... Star Wars?
Yeah.
I think that's the strongest of the prequels.
Oh, no.
And I stand by it.
Oh, no.
I think the other two are such long, boring, nothing
Matt,
happens.
Get out.
Man. No, I mean it. I'll fight anybody. Episode one is the closest thing to a movie out of those three. They're all garbage, but anyway, moving on.
I don't know if you're joking or not.
No, I'm being very serious.
This is another show. There's an AfterBuzz show just about Matt Cook defending episode one.
I will, compared to the other two.
Speaking of that, then, how much did you love that Leeds had a, was it a Lego, like...
Lego Death Star?
Death Star.
Which is directly out of Ultimate Spider-Man, Miles Morales. That is a Genki moment. Genki's obsessed with Legos. He literally drops his stack of Legos when he discovers a Miles Morales moment. They made Ned Leeds Genki in a way that I'm not sure. This is one of the negatives of the trailer for me. One, for me, I don't feel like you can make Ned Leeds Genki because Genki's important to Miles Morales, and eventually I do want Miles Morales, and then people that don't know that are going to be like, why is this guy's best friend just like Peter Parker's best friend? But it's not fair to Miles.
Yeah.
Like, it's disrespectful. And I get why they're doing it, because they're kind of doing an amalgamation of Ultimate Spider-Man's... They're doing both Ultimate Spider-Man's in one, and I respect that, but it kind of nips... Miles in the bud, like, you can't do a lot of Miles stuff because they're already doing it now. So long game, it kind of messes up Genki, and I like that character. Short game, how are you gonna have Hobgoblin be that guy?
Like, he'll just be a different Ned, like, he won't be Ned Leeds, he'll be one of the other 30,000 Hobgoblins.
Yeah, but Ned Leeds is so vital to the fabric of the 70s Spider-Man. He's a guy that Peter Parker wants to be because he's in love with the girl that Spider-Man loves. He's a reporter that Spider-Man respects, and then when he turns out to be the Hobgoblin, is disrespectful to both Peter Parker and Spider-Man. That is so important. You have a crime boss that affects both characters of Peter Parker and Spider-Man. That makes it so much more painful. So to sacrifice that for a character that already exists in another Spider-Man's continuity is disrespectful 8 ways from Sunday.
Nice rant.
Yeah, wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sacrifices so much for very little gain. He could have been someone else. He could have been Norman Osborn. He could have been...
But he could still do those things.
He could, but he now can't be... If Ned Leeds grew up with Spider-Man, he can't be a rival in the business world as much because he'd know how good of a reporter he was. He'd know how much he loved the girl. Mm-hmm. It loses that traction.
Sure.
And that's why I'm a little worried.
Yeah. But that can come in with... I mean, when you say you can't do it, I mean, Spider-Man, when done right, just... is the same book.
The only way I'd do it now is I'd make Eddie Brock that character. I'd make Eddie Brock a photographer in the Daily Bugle. And then you have the Venom animosity. Yeah. I just like the Hobgoblin in the 70s a lot.
Yeah.
So I just...
Mm-hmm. No, I totally get it.
And Hobgoblin and Green Goblin are so... In terms of their power set, in terms of, like, everything else that they do, they're very similar.
Right.
So, like, in Green Goblin is the more recognizable. They haven't done it since the 2001 Spider-Man. So more than likely, we're going to see...
Green Goblin wasn't Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, was it? What?
Harry Osborn. He was that silly like, Green Goblin thing they did. Dane DeHaan. Dane DeHaan had the X Games.
We can all understand barely why you didn't think that was Green Goblin.
Barely counts.
I love in the trailer the shot where he's wrecked. Where he's on the ground and he's looking up and his mask is off and his face is
it looks like
pummeled.
He's
just destroyed.
On Coney Island or something.
Yeah.
There's the Ferris wheel in the back.
It is so special, that shot, and the fact that he's getting back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's funny.
That's huge.
Yeah.
He's on the beach. There's
he's
a pier in the background.
Either.
That's such a big deal. And then right after this, you see Vulture is in what looks to be the same terrain.
Yeah.
He's in a little bit of a crater, maybe an impact crater.
Yeah. And he looks a bit, you know, ragged.
Yeah. The shot of him getting back up is all I really need.
Well, so
like to tell me that they're doing it.
So that. It's hard to see because of the lights in the studio, so you can't really see it. But in this shot, it looks like he's wearing
the original outfit,
like the original outfit.
Yeah,
his original outfit.
His original outfit.
There's a very visible zipper on the front, like he's wearing a hoodie.
Like he's wearing a hoodie, which is similar to what he was wearing, like from what we remember in Civil War and stuff like that.
I think much like the Iron Spider, Tony Stark has some control over his Spider-Man suit. He clearly tells Peter to stop doing it. Peter goes back out. I think he shuts down the suit, and we have to see the heart of Spider-Man is not in the suit; it's in the man.
It's in the man. Yeah. So like, that's kind of what I'm seeing there too. Is somehow Stark is tracking him. Somehow he has some control over the suit. Iron Man has shown up and stop Spider-Man from doing... Like, right. Something happens where he's like, I'm not going to wear my suit anymore.
He takes night off. He takes one night off. And it's the night that all hell breaks loose.
Oh, there you go.
He's on the phone with Lit, and she's like, what's going on? And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm getting slammed. Everything's like crazy. And he's like, I can't do it, man. It's like too much. Like, I need a night for me.
Yeah.
And he stopped, and he's like, boom, leaves the suit in the closet, puts on his best hoodie, goes out, and all of a sudden it's like, meep. The vulture comes
That's
in,
when the vulture
and he's like,
starts.
What have I done? And so he just zips up and like pulls that hood down and just starts going. And then it, you know, and he's trying his best. Yeah. He has gloves on, so I don't necessarily.
I feel like that's a cleaner launch rather than Stark being like
override. And
but
know what
no, since there's that scene in the trailer with Tony saying, let someone else handle it, I feel like it's more like this allows Spider-Man to show that he's responsible even when he doesn't have all the gizmos of the Stark suit. I'm afraid the Stark suit's gonna be too much, and like for us. To be like, oh, why does he have so many gadgets? So this shows that he, even without the gadgets, is still Spider-Man.
I know. I love that. And I agree with that. I'm saying I don't think it's because Stark has to take it away from him.
Okay.
I don't like the idea of Stark being like, well, I gave you that toy, but you didn't appreciate it.
But it isn't in the comics. No. He does that Iron Spider.
He's I know. Like, which I love. But then Parker, he's like, what kind of hacker would I be if I didn't know that this was in there? And he overrides the hack, and that's what's so special about it. Mm-hmm. That's so much time built into that moment that you don't have in a movie. You don't have the time. You don't have the space to do all of this pre-planning, and that's like issues. That's deep into
that
run.
2 years into that,
and it's great. But I don't think that's it. I think, too, we're talking about him learning the responsibility, the heavier responsibility. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of him being like, this is for me. Like, I'm going to make good on this girl. Like, I'm going to do what's right for her and whatever. And then it goes bad.
Yeah, I'm meeting Liz Allen at Coney Island. Yeah. I'm not taking Spider-Man with me today.
Jay said Matt and Coy are writing their own movie at this point. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got ideas.
You should be so lucky.
let's see.
So, Easter eggs or...
Well, I just want to say this. I love the shot. We've already talked about it, but the shot of him with his arms out, like keeping the Staten Island Ferry together, I think that's so important for that character. Like, that immediately calls back Master Planner Saga of Spider-Man 33, where he's holding up.
That's what I was saying. He's got to be
the rubble. Like, he's always that guy where he's always going to be like, this is too much weight. I can't take this, but I've still. Gotta somehow push
there
against
we go.
It.
And that's what in Spider-Man 2, man, I rewatched 1 and 2 recently, and they hold up way better than I remember. I think 3 and then The Amazing Spider-Man's really did a number on me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But going back and watch, there's some really solid superhero stuff
that
in there.
That second movie, Dr. Octopus.
But
like,
that moment when he's
so
holding that wall and Mary Jane's under and they see each other for the first time, and
he's like,
he's like, this is kind of heavy, whatever. Yeah, that little thing, like, that's really.
I'd forgotten how good they were.
Me too, man.
Because I kept defending Andrew Garfield, and then I rewatched. Watched it recently, and I was like, "Oh, these are amazing!"
Yeah,
yeah, they're good. They're really good. Yeah.
Do you guys, before we go deeper in, do you want to watch the international trailer? Compare and contrast the two.
I don't think there's that much there that's different.
Here's the part of the international trailer that I like. The very, very end, the Spider-Man theme blends into like the Avengers theme. That bum bum bum.
I did not catch that.
It's like a play on that tune. Like, I'm not a musician, so I don't know how to talk about it. But it's a play on
that theme.
Yeah, and then the international trailer does have Bokeem Woodbine in it
as
and
the Shocker. Yeah, but we can just show that picture and see that. So I also want to go back to Stark talking. He says, listen, I know school sucks, I know you want to save the world, but you're not ready yet. Stay close to the ground, stay out of trouble, forget the flying monster guy. There are people who handle this sort of thing. Then it cuts to him saying, I'm just sick of him treating me like a kid all the time. And then later, but you are a kid. This is my chance to prove myself. I really feel like that conflict between him and Stark is going to be a very important conflict throughout the entirety of the film. Like, I feel like there's going to be Stark like, no, 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 calm down, you're not ready yet, let the bigger guns handle this, and him pushing against that and railing against that, because he knows he's ready. He knows what he's capable of doing.
He thinks. He's a teenage boy.
But exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You don't know.
I think that's like the major flaw that he has. And I think all of that back and forth, him finding that wiggle room, him finding himself within this bigger, greater world, is what makes that last shot of Iron Man flying with him like the best of the whole trailer.
But we don't know where that comes in the film.
You're right, we don't.
That might be early. And like, right, come on, I got to let's take it for a test ride. And it's like, well, we see the moat and it's awesome and he's excited.
You're right. It, but
the I agree, way the trailer, I think it's important.
The way the trailer parses it out, the way it's edited, it seems like they're saying there's going to come a point where Iron Man finally sees
that he's earned this.
He's earned this. Mm-hmm. He wants to go against the Vulture. He kept the Staten Island Ferry from falling apart, all these other things. Yeah. Like, this kid's ready, but he needs help. He still needs help. I can't stop him from fighting Vulture, but I can help him out.
Bless you. That explosion, that purple energy stuff, like, I love the way that energy looks. Like, the weaponized, like, whatever they're doing, whatever that, however they're going to justify that, I think that's really cool looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I love that. Just, like, sort of, like, wild.
And we see in the trailer that it looks like Vulture is flying through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where the cars are parked, and he's got the gun, and then
boom, awesome.
I feel like there's no swirly space sky thing in this movie, and that makes me happy.
Yes, no swirling trash can fire.
I feel like that's not going to happen. That makes me really comfortable.
Yeah.
I love the amount of world building this trailer alludes to, that there can be hundreds of tech villains, because I argue that Batman and Spider-Man have the best rogues gallery in comics.
Yeah.
And I also think that they've both not been utilized. Like, I think that we've used the Green Goblin so many times.
But there's so many others.
And Osborn's important. I'm not denying that. I love Osborn.
Only because of the legacy, relationship.
And the legacy between
everyone. And the weight of it.
You need the Norman, I've forgotten how good the Norman Peter Parker father-son thing in the first Spider-Man was, that we just, it's amazing.
And Harry is
Harry, the best friend, and he's like,
and he's
jealous,
like,
but loves his friend.
Yeah.
That's what we need to world build, but that shouldn't be the first movie, and it's not.
Yeah.
And I think that this, if we have 9 Spider-Mans, there's plenty of story. There's so much to tell. And having us grow up with Tom Holland, I want this Harry Potter Spider-Man. And it looks like we're getting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I even like the feel that they do with the music for the domestic.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, that's so, you know, John Hughes-esque type of high school, but he's also a superhero. You know, in you know, comparing it to the international trailer where it's like, it's very intense. And it's like, this is the epic, you know, Marvel that you know and love. Yeah. In Spider-Man 4.
This was the John Hughes Spider-Man movie we were teased with when they announced
it. Yeah, it absolutely was.
And I think, too, the international trailers, like, most of it's like, remember you loved this? Like, whereas, like, I think with the domestic, we get, like, an actual movie trailer.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down just, like, the way they opened it. Like, they put a little teaser scene before each trailer, and in the international one, it was the scene from Civil War.
Yep.
In the domestic one, it was the web wings.
The web wings.
Like, get excited about new craziness you never thought you'd see on screen.
Yeah. Hey, Doom, can you find the song at the very end of the international trailer and just play it? Because I really like how they did it.
We
like,
just
it's,
watched, like, the last 30 seconds of the trailer.
Yeah, just listen to the music at the very end.
Or a kid.
This is my chance to prove myself.
That shot.
They're shocker.
I will kill you and everybody you love.
Oh, I hear it now.
Yeah.
I hear it.
Good ear.
Nice.
Like, it's just
that's cool.
It's just enough.
Yeah.
Just enough to be like, oh, he's an Avenger.
That was masterful.
Yeah. Dude,
that's really well done. Michael Giacchino.
That shot of him running on top of the train.
Yeah. So good.
Oh, my God. And running through a grass field. Like, it looks like he's, like, when he's running through that crowd of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably at Washington Monument, I would imagine.
Yeah,
from the coloring of the thing.
Something I really liked from the trailer was how his suit is, like, hermetically sealed, like, on his body.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, of course, because
that's
the best
how it fits.
Easy, that's how it's
how it
tight.
Fits so
that's how we can get in and
I
out of it.
I love it, pressing it just falls.
It's like, boom. Like, yes.
The humor in the trailer's
great. Why can't I have
great.
Dresses like that?
Yeah, exactly. If only we had Stark tech.
I know.
I also love that none of us knew exactly what a John Hughes superhero movie would feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was always the pitch. Everyone like heard that was the thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to see the Comic-Con footage. So this was my first exposure. I get more out of this trailer the more I watch it. Mm-hmm. Like, every single time I watch it, I get more of a feeling and I get more emotions. And a lot of trailers don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. A lot of trailers are like, oh, I watched it twice and I know what this is. This trailer grows and grows. And if the movie's half that, then, man, this is going to be a great rewatch.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk very quickly about Peter Parker being so Peter Parker.
Like,
He's awkward. Yeah. He's creeping on Liz Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He's watching footage of himself
in class.
Which
is dick-o-tastic. Him creeping is like, I always thought it was funny that John Romita Sr. made him a little bit more of a ladies' man.
Yeah.
Like, when Ditko had him, he was always the guy in a very pressed suit.
Uh-huh.
He was clearly wearing
sweater
clothes
vest,
from his last generation. Like, he didn't fit in the school. He always looked just slightly off.
He was a square.
And
they
he was like,
him a square
and
all
he was
the
watching.
Time.
And then John Romita Sr. is like, but what if he's also handsome?
Yeah.
And this is a nice mix between both, because Tom Holland's a good-looking guy, but he's got the Ditko sensibilities with the Tom Holland charm, so it kind of like is this beautiful amalgamation of both of those early Spider-Man. So I think they're going to have a great way to make that arc between like his confidence grows as his confidence grows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's so much potential there.
I love, first of all, well, let's, Tom Holland is very fit, right? Like,
yeah.
But we don't
he's
see Peter, we don't see Peter Parker before the bite.
Right.
And he's
right.
still in high school.
Yeah.
So high school, pretty early on, I'm going to say before the bite, you get told what you are in school.
Yeah.
Like, there's no room outside of, like, it's real, it's an uphill battle to get out of, like,
Nerdville. Yeah.
So I think it's still easy to miss him in high school, which I think allows him to be both those things. One of the things I really love about Peter Parker and Spider-Man is that he's only truly himself when he's not himself.
Yeah.
He can only really be
Peter Parker when
Peter,
he's
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, he has to wear a mask in order to show who he really is.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool thing. A really cool dynamic to have.
Yeah.
Doing the shot you just had up, I also love the world building of Howard Stark in that image. Did you catch that?
No.
Oh, is he on the wall or something?
If you look, look to the left above that girl, that's Howard Stark next to the rocket.
Right here,
that's awesome.
That's
wow.
That's the what's his name? Not
Howard Slattery, I believe his name.
Yeah,
John Slattery.
John Slattery. Thank you. Yeah. Howard Stark and John Slattery is Howard Slattery.
Howard Stark.
So I think I remember hearing like back when they were filming that this was like a science and technology magnet school and like you had to pay to get in and stuff like that. So like, I think Peter Parker has a scholarship from Stark to be at this school.
It better
that
be.
That makes sense.
Because no public school in New York is going to have all that science all over. You know what I mean? Like, that's too many murals already.
Nerds.
So, and like, there's a picture that I took, Doom. I don't know if you can find it in there, but it's of Midtown High, and it looks like...
Oh, it looks amazing.
Swanky. It looks like a college university. Like,
I never even thought of the idea of Tony Stark giving him a scholarship. I love that so much.
So I think Stark gives him a scholarship.
Yes.
Partially because he believes in the kid, but partially to keep his eye on him.
Right.
Yeah.
And it would. I didn't see the Stark mural in the background, but that would make total sense that Stark
has
in the school.
Like Stark owns a library. Like,
that's
a library.
That's not Midtown. That's mid-country.
Yeah. That's like upper state.
Are we sure that's what that is?
It doesn't.
No,
yeah,
but like it shows that as an establishing shot before it cuts to that other shot of him in the school.
Yeah, which may just be manipulation.
A high school.
Yeah.
Nick Hedspeth on the live chat said it's the private school that Miles Morales goes to. That's also a fair point. Like, I really think they're combining these.
Miles Morales
goes to a private school that he has to like the
what
first two issues are fighting
a
for.
Freshman named Miles.
No, what if we see a Prowler that is the uncle to a young boy that gets used in five movies?
Great.
Yeah.
I want Hobie first, and then that way we have the legacy of Miles be earned, and that way we get a bunch of Tom Holland first.
Yeah.
So, because his uncle needs to be older and needs to be a criminal for a long time. And more childish Gambino.
And think about how just tragic and sad and tear-jerkingly awful it's going to be when we've had three or four movies with Tom Holland.
Nine.
And then he dies. And Miles Morales takes over.
Right.
And it's like, we've fallen in love with this kid, and now Peter Parker has died, and Miles Morales is the new Spider-Man. And like,
I hope
that's
going to
be sad and bittersweet,
anybody.
And like, that's comic book lore. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's
I spoiled
that
70s Hobgoblin, and I feel bad. Someone in the chat was like, "I'm almost there," and I was like, "I ruined 40 years ago great mystery, and it's really good." And I am sorry.
Right, Hobgoblin, Peter Parker.
All right, we've got it. We should be moving on to speak with our Mary Marvelites, but. Spider-Man fans
loved it.
What, like, final remarks? Anything else that you want to talk about? We've still got a couple minutes, so
we
I'm going to say that it's a movie trailer for a superhero that I love, and the trailer makes me feel excited, mm-hmm. hopeful, mm-hmm. and strong, and makes me want to do better. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think that's so important in a superhero movie. I think there's such responsibility to the public to give people something to aspire to, mm-hmm. and I think this is a great way to do that, especially for young kids and even for me as an adult man. Like, it's like, do the right thing.
Yeah.
Be better.
Yeah.
Work hard. Be better. Like, that's so exciting.
Be your best you.
Rather than, they're sad. They're angry. And they're now free. They're punching people without powers. It's like, get out. Like, I don't like all that. Like, I'm so excited.
I would actually see that movie, though.
The one I just said?
Yeah. Well, that short film.
Coy, do you have anything?
I think, to tangent off that, that's a good I think that this allows... There's all those jokes, like, Netflix is Marvel, and Marvel Cinematic Universe, where, like, one's, like, bright and colorful, the other's really dark. I think that Spider-Man is the most optimistic character because he has to be. He's a depressed guy that has all this responsibility, but he overcomes it, so the optimism is inherent to his character. And I think this being so bright and lovely with shades of dark really allows the Spider-Man mythos to build independent but also in conjunction to the Avengers universe.
Sure.
Like, there's enough Easter eggs and a lot of Tony Stark that allows it, but this can also go off and be its own thing, and there's so much Spider-Man lore that can be built off just this trailer. This was 3 minutes that set up so much, and if the movie can set up this much while feeling organic, we can get the Spider-Man series that we all deserve.
Yeah.
Like, we can have the Spider-Man character that we're so close to having so many times, and this is the closest to Spider-Man I've felt. Like, this is the closest we've gotten, and this was a blip. This was a tiny little image. This was so short, but it felt like Spider-Man. Within seconds of that trailer, I was like, oh, I've read this. Yeah. This is Spider-Man. So I think they did it right. I think this is the tone I want. It's not my favorite trailer, but it's the trailer I've rewatched most, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
I love how much it looks like New York. Like, which is a silly thing to say, because so much is taken there, and so many, like, that's where it's all set, but... Like, it looks so good. Like, the shot of him swinging with Iron Man, like, just that street. Like,
they open in New York. They make the New York a character.
Yeah.
In the domestic, they're like, look, this is important.
Yeah, and it's so well done, and it's ground level, and it's like, I don't know, I love the tone, and again, my favorite thing is that shot of him, like, looking up and not giving up. Mm-hmm. He always gets up. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
This trailer had, like, four villains in it. I'm sorry. This trailer had, like, four villains in it, and it didn't feel like a lot, and that's in a short little second, so if they can do that... Sorry.
Yeah.
The thing I like about it is that it's really embracing high school life and then having it as a superhero, you know, type of thing. I think that's really awesome because I don't feel like they really hit that on the right note with, like, some of the other Spider-Man movies.
Spider-Mans.
Some of the other Spider-Mans. But they're really doing it in this one. Like seeing Zendaya, where she's just, like, sitting there, like, you guys are creeps. You guys are losers. It's like, it's so well done, and I love that it's kind of cross-genre like that. It's a coming of age into a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm
a big fan of that.
I just love that we're seeing a Peter Parker who's like, his superpower, yes, he's got superpowers, but his biggest power is that, like you guys are saying, he always gets up.
Yeah.
Like, it's his heart. He's always going to do the right thing, even when it seems like it'll feel like the right thing. It might be the wrong thing, but it's the right thing to him at that moment, and he's going to go do it, and he's dead set on it, and no matter how many times you knock him down, he's going to get up, and I don't know. I'm excited. Like, and that's just from a 3-minute trailer.
If they do the thing where they introduce tons of villains in high school, like they seem to be, like where all the characters are characters from, like, we've known, like the Ned Leeds thing.
Yeah.
I would love if Zendaya's Felicia Hardy.
Oh. Actually, you had a good...
How cool, because she looks like Runner, but also could be gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
She had a good theory about Michelle actually turns into Mary Jane, like, and Mary Jane is a stage name.
Like the stage name, yeah.
Yeah, because it looks like she's going through her awkward phase in high school, but we all know that Zendaya can, like,
bring it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I think, like, when she makes that change, everybody makes that change. Well, most of us make that change. I think that's when I think that's when she'll become Mary Jane.
So we both have this interesting duality of her. We're both like, what if she's Felicia Hardy Black Cat? What if she's Michelle Mary Jane? I think that will happen. I think she's cast for a reason.
Yeah.
All right. So before we take off, real quick, Deadline reported late last week that Spider-Man 2 is already eyeing July 5th, 2019.
Yeah.
There we go.
And that has caused Bad Boys 4 to shuffle already. Like, I don't even think they've said they're locking in on it, but Bad Boys is like, cool, no, 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 we'll move.
It's
we'll
yours.
Move.
It's
no,
yours.
No, no, you got it.
I'll be
you
over
got
there.
It. You got it. Well, yeah, we'll move. All right, take us away on the Marvel lights, and then we got a wrap.
Yeah. We've got a lot of social media to try to speed through. So shout-outs to everyone that was marking out on the Spider-Man trailer with us and was asking if Coy was still breathing, slash was in a pleasure coma.
Both of
slash,
those were true. Yeah,
still alive, all of that. Okay, into at Tim Kogan. It would be great if you two kind of meh it just to confound Coy for a second, and that was about our response on
Screen
the Spider-Man
Junkies, yeah. If, yeah. Like, they were like, what'd you guys think?
yeah, whatever.
Do you demand sincerity?
At Evan Mono, when today is your day off from work so you can watch Marvel Movie News Live.
Woo! Yeah.
At E-L-I-A-N-G-Y _ R.
L-E-N-D Rosario.
There we go. I'm arranging all my meetings for today around Marvel Movie News Show. Not missing it today, all caps, and you shouldn't either.
Oh, thank you very
amazing.
Much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice. And
I
then,
believe she got the promotion last week or something
sweet.
Like that. Yeah, so.
Congrats.
Now she can arrange her meetings. That's
yeah.
awesome.
There
she got promoted to like move that stuff.
and then back to last year at Soats N. Loving the lineup tonight. Welcome back, Matt Cook.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah, welcome.
Happy to be here.
Okay, so quick questions. At Johnny J. T. Thomas. Oh, okay. Do you think they intentionally made Thor Mask Guy hit Hulk as a little reference to Ragnarok?
Oh, fun.
I think
that's
it's cute.
Pretty fun, yeah.
Easter eggs
speaking
everywhere.
Speaking of, like, that's something we didn't touch on. Spider-Man's fighting style in the bank heist.
Great.
Like, he never actually punched anyone.
Because he wouldn't want to hurt them because he's super strong.
Yeah.
He just dodges and...
He dodges and then makes them hit each other. Like, it was like, ah, it's so good!
That's sweet.
But that is kind of funny. I didn't even notice that. Yeah, good. Solid work, Johnny T.
Good eye.
Yeah, and at Johnny C. Blaze, we answered your question of what we think about
think
the Spider-Man
Homecoming trailer.
I think we answered it very
Can
well.
Can we just talk about it for 1 minute?
You know, Spider-Man Homecoming.
But it's Johnny Cross. We got to say hi to Johnny Cross.
Yeah. At MikeTheBeast92, with Spider-Man, Thor, and Black Panther all having amazing casts, which are you each most excited to see act together in?
Oof. Spider-Man, Thor, or Black Panther?
Black Panther because the Black Panther cast is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Ridiculous
it's such
at this
a solid
point.
Cast.
I mean, the only people streets. That aren't in it right now that I can think of off the top of my head are Morgan Freeman and Lawrence Fishburne. And it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. Is Denzel in it?
Oh, and Denzel.
Denzel.
Yeah, Denzel, I forget who we fan cast. I fan cast that with a fan. Oh man.
Oh yeah,
I think Black Panther are the strongest accolades and the strongest strength of acting. I think that Spider-Man has the best legacy potential because everything's going to build up, but I think Thor is going to be the wonkiest
it's
as far as
awesome.
Goldblum. Just anything with Goldblum. I think so they all have different merits, so all of them A+.
I just want to see Goldblum as the Grandmaster going, and
John Cena!
I am so excited to see something from Thor.
Yeah,
like I can't.
Any frame, anything.
I can't wait. That's, I love What We Do in the Shadows. I loved Hunt for the Wilder People. Mm-hmm. I'm such a fan of that
Hunt
director.
Hunt for the Wilder People was so
I cannot
good.
Wait to see what he does with this.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited for all of those. I can't pick one, but that one's the one that I'm most intrigued by.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And we'll probably see a trailer for that June or July because that's November of next year. So we've got 6 or 7 months to wait for anything from that.
Okay, at Joshua _A113, thoughts on Riri possibly going to school with Peter Parker or any other Marvel teens you want in the movie? They might Smallville it, but I think it's too packed already.
Yeah,
for them to also include Ironheart in there, and then you have to. I think he's already got that mentor relationship with Peter Parker. I think it'd be a bit much to also put Riri in there. But hey, this is going to be kind of like a legacy movie thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing says that she can't show up in the second or
that
third
That being
one.
Said, I don't know why Marvel would put a Marvel Studios character in a Sony movie.
To plant a seed in the other universe.
To plant a seed for the other universe, yeah. Right. Like, I feel like Riri is going to definitely be a Marvel Studios thing.
Okay.
If she makes it into the movies at all, yeah.
Let's see. At Muthu Joker, who do you think are the fan favorite characters are from the classic comics?
Who do you think the fan favorite characters are from the
classic
comics?
And he was I think he was talking about Spider-Man because
probably,
he had a picture of the Spider-Man Homecoming.
I think Flash Thompson, who we got. I think eventually,
Flash Thompson.
We'll get some Osborns later. I think
that guy's name. I cannot remember his name.
The greatest Wes Anderson actor.
How about Madam Web?
Madam Web's classic in her own way. I mean, I think we showed the ones. I mean, I think we're going to get all of them. I think that's the beauty of this movie, is they're setting up for the future. This movie doesn't feel like a prequel, but it also doesn't... It doesn't feel like Iron Man 2.
Yeah. Wait, I forgot to say, it's so weird that they're bringing Paul Giamatti back as Rhino in this one.
Wait, what?
No, I'm kidding.
I literally just Amazing Spider-Man 2 to you, and you're like, did you say the wrong thing?
Something broke in my brain.
Thank you. Yeah. That was good, Cook. The audience loved it.
You're welcome, babies.
Marvel fans had heart attacks. Like, everywhere. All of them.
Yeah, at Ashley Houchins, who is the best villain, Surtur or Mephisto? I say Surtur.
I say Surtur. Mephisto seems like he's more like, I'm going to make a deal.
Mephisto's involved in One More Day, so I'll never forgive him. I'm going to blame the character for that.
Honestly, that's where I'm at, too.
Surtur, though, has, like, the Twilight Sword, and it takes, like, he full-on attacks Asgard pretty much by himself.
He's the Balrog.
He's pretty powerful.
This far, no further. Oh, no, wait. That's Star Trek.
There it is.
There it goes.
Something about passing, not being allowed.
Mine was Star Trek First Contact. What? Okay.
Ricky Alsace at Vegito 247. Any chance that Athamat Key could read the short story I wrote for him on air? If not, it's cool. I don't think we have time.
We got a lot of Marvelites.
We have a lot of Marvelites.
Doom will take the hit on this one. We don't have time.
Yeah.
But I will read the first sentence.
Great.
Matt Key was at the peak of his bliss in his life.
Ooh. Oh, that was November.
I'll read the next sentence, and then it all went horribly wrong.
Okay, no, so we've got three comment/picks. Diego Pazzo at Yippee182. I found this by accident, but I'm pretty sure you're going to love it. Props to at TwinsVega13, I believe. It's an old school Spider-Man comic featuring Vulture on the cover. You sent that to
but redefined, like it's like a new take. Look at that! They did a Ditko style reinterpretation of the movie.
Oh, that's awesome!
That's so cool.
So it's Ditko style art with the new interpretation of the characters. I love that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Solid loving the web wings, loving the boots.
I love the web pits, man.
Yeah, that's great, dude.
Such a big deal.
I think that's Spider-Man number 7. The cover is
very nice.
Yes.
And then
the book, it says 8.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe it is.
And then
it's in the
Charles
first 12.
Lee at GoofyFan_Chuck. He sent a meme that was online. Tony, this doesn't make sense. It's a fun meme of Tony and Peter in the car where the math just does not add up. You can see there at the top as Tony Stark saying, "Don't do anything I wouldn't do," and in the middle, "And definitely don't do anything I
would do."
No way, I would do and then wouldn't do, and then at the bottom. It just has Tom Holland, and there's all this math.
And then his head explodes.
Yes.
That's great.
And I don't know that we pointed this out, but did we point out the black eye in the Winter Soldier?
I mentioned it briefly during the first run. I've got a Felipe Flores, scruffy-looking nerf herder, which is a great name, by the way. Any comics in particular you'd recommend to prep for Homecoming? Ditko and Bendis, the earliest Spider-Man and then the early 2000s run of Ultimate Spider-Man are very much where they're pulling from. I think the first 5 to 6 years in the 60s and then the first 5 to 6 years in the early 2000s are the two runs I'd check out because it looks like they're doing a beautiful amalgamation of the two.
Yeah.
You agree?
Totally agree.
They just had a huge sale on Comixology of all the the Spider-Man masterworks.
Yeah.
Have a good journey.
I went a little crazy.
With it being December, you know, look for those deals on Comixology and go buy all this stuff. Yeah.
Big time.
Ask your family for Marvel Unlimited subscriptions.
Yeah.
There you go.
And just read everything.
Marvel Unlimited, by the way.
Read all the
wish lists, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on everyone's wish list. And then Mark Paxton at Super Ego Mark. We tried to get this picture on last week, but we had technical difficulties. He goes, "Hey, at the Matt Keys, started reading Doctor Strange because of your recommendations on Marvel movie news.
Yes.
Inspired this fan art. And it is a ultra cool Matt Key as Doctor Strange.
That is so cool.
And it is so well
That's
done.
That's incredible, dude. Mm.
It's so cool.
If I weren't already married, I would marry that fan art. Me as Doctor Strange, I'll take it. Like a very grim, like the dark dimension is so hard. Like kind of dark. Yeah I'll take it. That's
but you're also
awesome.
Really enjoying it because you're kind of smiling.
It's great.
You know? Ugh.
Yeah, that is hand. Like he like reached into my head and pulled out how I was seeing Doctor Strange.
I
just
love
like
that.
This like, oh, life is really hard, but it's kind of fun. I can't even dig it. Yeah, love it. Good work, Mark.
And thanks
for letting me know that you're reading because of like my love for it. Like that, that's incredible. Like that's like
you got
feeling.
One.
Yeah, I finally got
you
one.
You got one.
Two people read Doctor Strange now.
Because
New Run's great. I love Jason Aaron's Run's great.
Yeah, it's actually
because it's the good. Least like Doctor Strange, which is so nice.
It's so approachable. He can understand.
I hate you guys.
The linear character.
What did I have? What did I have cooked back on?
He's likable-ish.
Yeah, weird. I care about him.
Yeah,
like,
man.
I think that's it for today, and that's it for this year. We don't come back until January. This is our last show.
Whoa.
You guys, it's been an amazing year. I love you, Marvelites. Thank you. And it's been an amazing year here.
Like,
yeah,
no,
this room has been great this year.
Lock us in.
Cool. I've got a lot of tweets lately. Like, I thank you so much for the movie fights, love. I've gotten so much that I can't keep up on Twitter anymore. I've fallen a little behind. So everyone that's tweeted me, I've read and appreciated each and every one of them. I haven't responded. It's because of the density of awesome. Thank you for all the Screen Junkies and Marvelite love. And before we go, I love heroes, and I have in my house only art of superheroes, and I got to meet one of my heroes and got to talk about X-Men with Conor McGregor, and it was the single coolest experience. And Fancast, I'm asking you guys, I'm gonna go the other way, usually we coy cast, I'm asking you guys, who do you think Conor McGregor should play in a Marvel thing? Because dude. And I'll fill in more on that story in the new year.
Oh, nice.
So, quick question.
And yeah, I guess I'd like to say real quick. I mean, obviously, I'm the newest addition to the show, but I feel very welcomed by, you know, both y'all and like the Marvel Movie News crowd. And I really appreciate that. And I love this. And I'm looking forward to doing it in the new year.
Yeah. And I want to say, I think we started. All those episodes ago, you have ruined. And I am so ashamed. it's so fun to be here. And I love it. And I get tweeted at a lot. People being like, can you get back on? You know, like, I'm so excited when I can. It's so nice to be here. And it's so fun tweeting ideas and getting news from fans from the show, and they're like, have you seen this? And I'm like, oh, now I have. Thank you. It's so fun.
Congrats
so
on
great.
Man with a Plan, by the way.
Thank you. It's been a blast.
How's it going so far?
It's going great. We got picked up. We're going to do a whole season, so I'm on hiatus right now, and I get to go back in the new year and do a few more episodes.
So cool.
We're nominated for a People's Choice Award, and it's really fun.
That's so cool.
So yeah, that's on CBS Mondays at 8:30. If you guys want to check it out, it's really fun, and it's been a blast.
That's amazing.
Busy, and I read a lot of comic books in my dressing room, and that's
the life. That's amazing. Kind of the actual dream. Awesome.
That's the goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I sit on a beautiful couch, and I'm just like,
and then go out and do the dream, and then come back.
It's just dreams all over.
Dude, that's the best.
It's really, really fun, and I love it. And I try to watch if I can. I'll try to at least tune into this and get on the chats and stuff, and
we see you from time to time. We appreciate that. When the Spider-Man trailer broke, and I was like, "Well, who are we going to have on?" I was like, "Well, Cook's my first call. Like, you know, I hope he's recording, but at the same time, I hope he's not." You know, so
I'm on break. That's great. Just in time,
Dude. Perfect.
Doom. Also, I really would like to thank you guys. I've been on this show running the show for like a year now from behind the scenes. I joined this time last year, and it's been I love all of you guys that I see on the panel. Even though you can't see me, I'm creepily watching you. But all the fans have been amazing.
It's such a cool
love this show much.
It's so positive.
It's a good show.
It's so awesome.
I do other internet, not nearly as positive. You read YouTube comments on a lot of places, and it's dark days ahead. This posse is strong.
You guys are incredible fans. You guys are incredible fans, and thank you for being so supportive and like asking us questions and engaging with us, because we love what we do.
Really love that.
Like, this is all, like, this is, we don't get paid for this. We do this just because we love it.
Yeah, we're just here for you guys. This is just, so.
Matt Key, thank you for welcoming me into the Marvelites family.
Hey, you're welcome.
Matt Cook, too, but you were just sort of like.
I was
on the way out.
I checked out by then.
Yeah.
No, Key, well done, bud.
Thanks, man.
This is your, you've been running this ship.
I love doing it. It's a fun, big deal. Like, I will end the year with this.
Why?
Air horns, baby.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Everyone watch the Fast 8 trailer, not Marvel.
I'm finally nice to you, and that's how you repay me?
Yep.
With a barely audible, weird
rap motif? What are these choices?
I love the rap air horn. That's my favorite.
Everyone have what...
That I like.
There we go, Doom.
Whatever holiday you, celebrate, whatever festivity you have, whatever important thing the holidays mean to you, do it, embrace it, and spend as much time with your family as possible, because you never know when it's their last time.
Never
Yeah. Hug them, love them, Christmas. Appreciate them, yes. And have a sweet Christmas, yes. Et cetera.
And Thor, and Thor bless us, everyone.
Also, it's 2017 soon, I learned today on this show.
Alright. He's embracing the air horn. He knows I like it.
Man.
He's so excited.
Next year, all air horns. Like, oh, there's like Sweet Christmas or Dove. It's just like...
Oh, I yell the air horn on Disney movie news all the time.
Oh, that's so funny.
We're going to do it here, too.
Good, good. So goodness. Dumb. All right.
Okay.
From all of us to you, thank you so much. Have a great Christmas. Have a great every holiday.
Yeah, have a great holiday.
Great holiday.
Great holidays.
Have a happy new year. Be a safe new year and come back to us next year. We love you guys. Thank you so much.
We'll see you then.
And thanks for being here, guys.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.